Now, I hope the guest who is joining me on the couch today is enjoying the sensation of being in a comfortable chair with an air conditioner, keeping the conditions nice and cool, because by the end of this weekend, he is going to have given up such creature comforts for quite a long time. His name is Fritz Zitter. He is a German national, 27 years old, and he is about to set off on a run across Africa, accompanied by his brother Max, who will be on a bicycle. And the two of them due to depart Cape Town later this weekend. The aim is to make it all the way to Cairo in under 200 days. There is a world record at stake here, but there's a much more important reason than records why he's doing it. And it's a pleasure to have him with us to tell us more. Fritz, welcome. I know it's a crazy day getting all your final preparations done, so appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Before we talk about the cause you're supporting, let's talk about, shall we call it, the personal impulse behind this, because it's not your first adventure. And as I mentioned, you're from Germany, but you're not a guy who likes to play by the rules and stick with the structure that the Germans are so famous for.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy uncertainty.
Yeah.
And throwing myself into adventures.
Mm-hmm.
So I've have a bit of experience already. I spent 10 months cycling. Actually started here 2 years ago, mm-hmm, in Cape Town, and then set off and did a big loop in southern and eastern Africa. And yeah, I think that was where sort of the spark arose, where I also got the idea for the run,
mm-hmm,
but also where I realized being out there and throwing yourself into situations where you have no security around you, you're very vulnerable if you just have yourself, your tent, and a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
No one's taking advantage of that. People support you. People want to do good and want to contribute to your well-being. And I've experienced a lot of love and altruism out there.
Yeah.
And coming back to Europe or even within South Africa, I constantly tell people, you don't know how great your neighbors are.
Mm-hmm.
Even in and around Joburg or Cape Town area, obviously there's challenges. But just because there's bad things happening doesn't mean that everyone's bad or everyone's coming from a bad space.
Mm.
I think there's a lot of conditioning happening, the way we grow up, what we experience whatsoever. But I think at the heart, at the bottom of it, I think people are great. And there's this kindness that you experience out there on the road. And
yeah,
that's what keeps me going.
I love that. Thank you for that reminder, because as you say, it's very easy to get sucked into the negativity of what goes on around us. It's important sometimes to hear somebody else's perspective from the outside, saying, you know what, things are better than you think they are around you. Now, you're trying to make things better for some of the communities you cycled through and have encountered on the way, because quite appropriate, in fact, that you're sitting here today, because it's World Water Day.
Exactly.
And water is at the heart of the sort of the cause you're supporting. Tell us more.
Yes, we're fundraising for Viva Con Agua, and WASH is at the heart of what they do and what we're supporting. It's water, sanitation, and hygiene. And it's such a far-reaching challenge. It's over 2 billion people in the world still not having access to safe drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
And even people who do have access to water, people who do have access to sanitation, that's not how you solve the problem. You cannot just dump infrastructure onto people and assume that's how you fix things. If people don't know what bacteria are, if people don't know how to use a toilet, you can put it out there. But without going into the communities and educating, especially the latest, the youngest generation, on how to protect yourself from diseases, from infiltrating your own drinking water,
mm-hmm,
by having open dams where all your animals drink from as well. That's actually the change that Viva Con Agua is making. They are playing with the kids. They are having games that teach them how to protect their water through gamification. They're using arts. They're drawing murals. And that's their approach to reaching them, rather than dropping infrastructure and be like, that's how we solved it. Here, you solve it that way as well.
Yeah. Fascinating. Okay, so there's a wonderful sort of reason behind this beyond the personal adventure and challenge. I mentioned earlier what I love about your story, Fritz, is the sense of never giving up, because you did actually start this attempt late last year and things went wrong. You have found the courage to start again after some quite extensive rehab. Do you want to tell us very briefly what happened last year, and then we'll talk about what you're doing this time?
Yeah, we started off from Cape Town in October, and we managed to get all the way up to Windhoek. So we already ran 1,500 kilometers up the west coast along the N7, and probably the most boring road on earth, the B1 in Namibia, through over 40 degrees in the heat, and then eventually everything was going well, and eventually one morning I woke up and I couldn't bring my leg to bend properly. My left leg just was flinching all the time. I couldn't stomp on the ground anymore, and we were waiting. I saw some physios because we thought it's a muscular problem. Eventually, we had to do an MRI scan, and it turned out that my joint got inflamed.
Oh, dear.
And that I have a problem in that joint because there's less space than in my right joint, which only you find out by running 60 kilometers a day. So, yeah, we've been trying to overcome that with a lot of mobility and strength work. Operation would have been another option, but I wasn't willing to go that path. I think there's a lot that our bodies can deal with and heal within themselves. So we're trying to deal with that in a conservative way.
Okay, so you've had the months of rehab. You've found the courage to try again. You leave on Sunday. How many kilometers are you covering between Cape Town and Cairo?
It's almost 11,000 kilometers.
11,000. And I know you're hoping to do it in 200 days or left, not less. You've referenced 60 kilometers a day. Is that the intended pace and distance you'll have to keep?
Yeah. I mean, we're aiming for, and obviously I've had much less preparation. I've only been back running for 6 weeks now. So I've had a proper test 2 weeks ago at the Calling Cape Town Triathlon, which luckily went well. And now I just see how it goes. And if it takes more time and we have to go at a lower pace in the beginning and eventually speed up on the way, then that's the way
and
we
so
go.
So be it. Calling Cape Town Triathlon, that was the one where you swam from Robben Island, did the entire cycle race and then ran the Three Peaks.
Exactly.
Didn't know that you were part of that crazy group, but congratulations to you and everybody who took part, because not only did they do something remarkable physically, you raised nearly R1 million for that charity, which is fantastic. I hope you're going to see similar success in this venture. Fritz, tell us quickly about the route that you will be. It's basically a straight line from Cape Town through to Cairo, but couple of ports along the way you need to skip, like South Sudan being very unstable at the moment. So where are you going to go?
Yeah, so we are cutting through South Africa along the N1 and then going up into Botswana, Gaborone, going north into Zambia, and then going east towards Tanzania, and then north again into Kenya, Ethiopia. And that's where the critical part starts, north of Addis Ababa in northern Ethiopia. And obviously also Sudan, it's very unstable at the moment. And the situation can change so quickly. We are aware that it's going to be very difficult for us. And we must just see how the situation evolves and if and how we can get through. And also, obviously, if it makes sense to risk.
Is that your biggest worry, or is your hip the bigger worry? Or is there something else that's keeping you up at night as you prepare to set off?
So many things, but I think rather than the hip or actually making it to Cairo, I think in the end it's not only about the record. It's not only about making 60 kilometers. It's about drawing that intention, challenging yourself, but then telling a story and creating a platform. And essentially you have a canvas to draw on and you want to draw that picture right. And that is where most of my energy at the moment is still circling around. It's like, how are we getting our storytelling right? How do we convey what's happening to us every day? How do we show people that their fellow beings are actually amazing and that they are supporting us? That's where the most energy flows at the moment.
So if our listeners want to follow that storytelling for the next 200 days, what's the best platform to follow the trek and perhaps to make a contribution to Viva Con Agua?
We have everything consolidated on Instagram.
Okay.
The handle is Fritz_adventure. And that's also where we have the link in our bio for donations towards Viva Con Agua.
Fritz underscore adventure. And setting off on Sunday with his brother Max, I hope that the hip is going to be fine. I hope that that sense of wonder of the at the people around you and how they treat you will remain intact throughout the 200 days to Cairo. And Fritz, I look forward to the conversation at the other end of the journey. Thanks for popping into studio today.
Yeah, thank you so much. And whoever wants to join on Sunday morning, yep, will start 7 a.m. at the Lighthouse in Greenpoint.
At the Lighthouse in Greenpoint.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to pop down and wave them off and wish them good luck, that's where you need to be, 7 o'clock on Sunday. All the best to you and Max Fritz. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.